Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see. I know the weather is kind of up and down this morning. At one time, there was a little sun. Then there was storming. Now, I see a little sun coming from the windows out here. But I thank God that each and everyone made it. Didn't make any excuses. Say, you know what? It's raining. I'll watch church on TV or I'll listen to on the radio. There's nothing like coming face to face and being with other believers, because that's truly where the strength comes from. Amen? Amen? So this morning, I just want to share, just recently, the beginning of this month, we just got back from our Ministers Fellowship International Conference, which was in Portland. And there was a pastor's dinner that my wife and I attended. And I met this one man. He was a missionary. He was a young man. He was like 25 years old. And he's from Africa. And I asked him, what's your name? And he had the coolest name. His name was Thunder. Now, I don't know if that's just a made-up name, but his name was Thunder. And I asked him, you know, as we were talking, I asked him, you know, what is the difference between churches in America and where he comes from? And he kind of like looked at me like a little, like serious look. So he said, and I was surprised what he said. He said that the difference is that where I come from, the people are hungry for the presence of God. I said, okay. And then I said, then he goes on to say a little more. Then he goes, and people in America are lazy. I said, oh, wait, how easy. Now. You're talking about my American flag here. We're lazy. And you guys go to church, and hardly any of you guys read the Bible. I was like, oh, this guy is getting arrogant now. Like, well, what do you say? Then the Holy Spirit just quickened me right away. And he said, this was you 9 years ago. And I said, Lord, you're right. I remember 9 years ago when he said that my Bible, not this Bible, but my Bible was covered in mold. The pages were stuck together. What does that tell you? It doesn't tell you I was reading it every day. That tells that the thing wasn't even open. And this is like the most important thing that we can have. Anything else is our Bible. So me not getting into it, what does it tell you? Exactly what what Thunder was saying. I did. He told me his other name, his first name, but I don't know if I want to mention it, because sometimes it's not good to mention people's name who are in countries or who are persecuted. I don't want to put his name out there. But it got me to thinking, what was it that changed me? Because before that, I never did ever read. Even in high school, I never read a book in my whole life. What changed me from having a moldy Bible with the pages stuck to now reading? It was prayer and fasting. I remember Pastor John, this was a long time ago, our first 21 days of fasting. Wow, what is 21 days of fasting? I never experienced that. January, every year, we have a 21 days of fasting. So I did it. I did the Daniel fast for 21 days. The good thing about it was, well, not the good thing. That's not the good thing. Get me wrong. I lost 21 pounds. That's not the good thing. The good thing is there was a desire that put into my heart that began to, like, wanting to read God's word. For the next 5 years, I read the Bible every day. Every year, I finished the Bible. Every year, when we do this 21 days of prayers, we pass out a 365-day thing where you can read the Bible every day. Has all the verses used for reads. It's all plainly put out for you. But that's how I began to hunger and thirst for his word, was through prayer and fasting. So today, I want to also, it was so interesting. After I talked to this guy, all of a sudden my wife comes up to me and goes, oh, where's the guy you're talking to? I go, well, I don't know. From that point on, we didn't see the guy after that. I was thinking, wow. You know, the Bible does say we entertain angels unaware. I was thinking, wow, I know that God wanted me to hear what our people are missing, and myself too. This message is for, you know how I know this message for me? As I was doing it, all of a sudden, I started weeping. And you know, a lot of times when you start crying, it's just because, as even Kui, as he was on praise, this presence of God just came upon him, and he just started testifying. When the presence of God came on when I was talking, I just had to weep. So I knew God was like in this message. And this message is all about experiencing his presence. Amen. So at this morning, what was so interesting is we had Bible study, and we do Bible study with John Bevere. And we're in almost the ending of The Fear of the Lord. I want you to, when you go home, go into YouTube, John Bevere, Fear of the Lord, Session 7. It's called Glory to Glory. It was like the in-your-face of my message. Mine's a little bit more, how I could say it, kind of like, not toned down, it's definitely not toned down, but it's just a more comfortable. He's in your face. Watch that Glory to Glory, because he tells the exact same thing what you need to hear when it comes to experiencing God's presence. Amen? So this morning, I just want, how many of you, we just came with 2 weeks of Apostle McDonald. It was a great prophetic conference that we had. But one thing he said was, he was talking about God's presence. And I said, you know what, that matches what Thunder was talking about. And then it got me thinking, you know what, so wait now, he says that we hardly read the Bible. So, of course, like me, I want to make sure that he's not just speaking from his own personal. So I went into the Google, and I pulled these guys are always what I a lot of times use to when it comes to taking research. I pulled up Barna Research. They're a big research company. They do research, tens, thousands, hundreds of thousands. And I put down, what is the percentage of Christians who read the Bible? And to my amazement, it came out, which I think is kind of high, but 11% of Christians read their Bibles every day. I said, oh, it's not too bad. It's 11% every day. Then it also says 34% reads it at least once a week. I said, yeah, it's not bad. But what really got to me was 45%, almost half, 45%, they put down, seldom or never read their Bibles. And I said, wow, what Mr. Thunder was saying was really true. That we who profess we are Christians. I'm going to start carrying this. Don't even read our word. I remember when I first coming to this church, this was over 30 years ago, mostly everybody, not all, and I'm not going to say all, but a lot of people carried this. A lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people. Now, unfortunately, and I'm guilty, we carry this. But I want to show you, there's a difference between this, Pastor Chris, amen, this and this. I mean, I'm not going to say this is wrong, but there is a difference. And I was talking with Pastor John, he gave a good example of what the difference is. This is his word, we all know that, but this, as you went through these pages, has seen your tears, has seen the things that God is speaking to you. You write, nothing's wrong with writing in the word. Writing down what God is speaking to. Then when you go to Exodus, oh, God was talking, I was reading Moses, and God gave me a word of what this is talking about. That's the difference, big difference. So today, I want to share this scripture with you. It's found in James 1:22, and then again, John Bevere was using the same scripture, but we went even more into details. It says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I want you to just look at it. Don't get me wrong when I say this. This is, I believe Satan is thrilled with a lot of church services. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, because Satan, who is Satan? Satan loves it, because what is Satan? Satan is the great deceiver. And this scripture says, not only hears, deceiving yourselves. That's what James says. He goes like this, look, these guys come to church. They're sitting in a powerful worship that we just had. They're listening to a powerful sermon. They have their words. They're crying. They have their hands lifted up. But after all that's over, they're not going to apply it to their lives. When I heard that, I was thinking, this is speaking to me. No, there's a lot of times Pastor John tells you, so what was the word last week? Oh, I forgot. That means throughout the whole week, was I applying it to my life? I'm not too sure, you know? So then Satan lifts up his head and says, my job is done. I didn't have to do anything. He says, I hope churches all over are filled up and preaching God's word and no one applies it to their lives. That would be Satan's greatest dream. Everyone deceiving themselves. But I know here at the Door of Faith, we are not just hearers, but we are doers of the word. And I can tell because of testimonies that are spoken of the goodness of that God is in their lives. But before I share my message, I just want to briefly point out three unique presences of God. And before I start, I'll just open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this is your word that you had birthed in me, Lord, and I'm sharing with your people, Lord. Lord, allow it to just saturate and just into our birth, into our spirit, Lord, because we are not just hearers, but we are doers of the word, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that your presence will always follow each and every one here as we say, as we draw near to you, you're going to draw near to us, Lord. We just thank you. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Amen. So the first scripture, and I'm going to be giving a lot of scripture. Like I said, this is not my word. I'm going to just give you all word because this is what God says. Psalms 139, 7 and 10. And I'm sorry, I don't have PowerPoints. So please, if you can, write it down. Use your phone on notes. Take down all these scriptures and later on just research it yourself. Because this is all about God's presence and why we need it. So Psalms 139, 7 to 10 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hands will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. So this verse is telling us of God's omnipresence. And that's the first thing, his omnipresence. What that means is God everywhere at the same time. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? So that's the first one. So the next one is another scripture I want to give to you where God's presence is 2 Corinthians 6:16. It says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's one of the amazing blessings that we have as believers in Jesus Christ, is the presence of God living inside of us. Living inside of us. That's what is called God's indwelling presence. Living in us. And it says, we know that it says that in the Old Testament, what did they have to do? They had to build a tabernacle, a sanctuary, where it was in the holies of holies, where not anyone could go into it, only the high priest, to go to be in the presence of God. But the New Testament tells us that the Spirit of God now dwells within us. Isn't that so powerful? I mean, you guys remember when Pastor John was talking months ago back when he was talking about when they went to Israel. And they had their tour guide just couldn't understand. And that's why they have their thinking of Jesus. To them, Jesus is just another apostle or prophet. But they can't imagine how a perfect Savior dwelt in sinful man. But we know it to be true. Why? Because God's word says so. If His word says it, I believe it. Amen? And that's the second one. The third kind of presence that we can experience is God's manifest presence. And this is found in John chapter 14, verse 21. And it says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." It is he who loves, who keeps my commandments and keeps them. "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father." You see that little connection that God says, "I'm going to love you, but there's some conditions. We've got to keep his commandments." Amen? And he says, "And I will love him and manifest myself." God's going to manifest himself to him. That word manifest, what it is, it brings the unseen to the realm of the seen. It's bringing the unheard to the realms of the heard. It's bringing the unknown to the realm of the unknown. It is God who reveals himself to our senses. You know, we say, I sense the presence of God. It was his manifest presence. I felt his presence. And some people see visions. Other people hear his voice. And others may experience a sense of peace and joy that is beyond words. And when we experience God's presence in our lives, we become filled with peace and joy. You know, most of us here has experienced God's presence. And it's just a peace and joy that passes all of this. We can't understand. And that, because God is God. And what it does is it empowers us to live and reflect his character. It's like anything. When you hang around with somebody who's right next to you, your friend, as you keep hanging around, you begin to take on his nature and his character. You begin to speak his language. If he's swearing, you become swearing. But as we get empowered by living with God's presence in us, we begin to take on his character. And what better character to take on than God's character? Amen? So this morning, I'm going to share with you what the Bible says about the presence of God. And two things I'm going to touch on. What we can experience in God's presence and how we can experience his presence. So here at the Door of Faith, we want you to experience God's presence through the Holy Spirit, through our worship, through our prayers that we have throughout the week, through God's written word, through the sermons. But most of all, I truly believe to experience his presence, we can experience through fellowship with other believers. Amen? Apostle David stated this question during his message last week, Sunday. He said, "Do you realize that his presence requires us to do something every time we come into the presence of God?" Do you remember what that one word was? If anyone can remember, I was just talking about sometimes we don't remember what it is. Does anyone know that one word, what is required every time we come into God's presence? Nothing is wrong, because there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that are required, but this is one thing he said. He said, sacrifice. That's what John got it wrong. No, I'm only joking. No, Lord, forgive me. He did that again. He said love. Love is the one of the main things that we need. We need God's love. Sorry, Pastor John. But it was sacrifice. That's all we have to do. We offer him a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of worship. The Bible talks about how we sacrifice by crucifying our flesh. God made a way for you and I to come into his presence. And that way was through his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. So stop allowing Satan to keep you from God's presence, because Jesus paid it once and for all. Amen. We no longer have to sacrifice animals. Can you imagine if we're still living in the Old Testament and we want to have God's presence? I would have to have, maybe Pastor Harry say, "I want you to go into the holies of holy for me." Because not everyone could experience that. And imagine all the animals that we would have to kill. Because this has to be a sacrifice that is made to get into his presence. But thank be to God that we had the sacrifice of the spotless lamb, which is Jesus Christ. And when he was on that cross, and he said, "It is finished." What happened when he said, "It is finished"? The veil was torn. Just picture the veil. It said that the veil is like, it's almost like if you look back at this wall back here, the veil is like 60 feet high, the Bible describes it, 30 feet wide, and 4 inches thick. So no man could do that, not even Samson. But just think of the divine hand of God from the top. It's not from the bottom now, because the reason why it's a top, because no human being or no one could have ripped the veil from the top to the bottom. Only God. So just picture his divine hands tearing that veil all the way to the bottom, allowing us to get access now. We're so fortunate, I think, as of believers today, that we can just enter into his presence now. There is no things that we have to sacrifice. But, hear me this, we just can't go in anyway. We have to go in with a contrite spirit, a humble heart. There's certain things that we have to do. And I'm going to explain some of those things shortly. But isn't that so awesome how we just enter into his presence? Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, I urge you." I like how the scripture starts out. He's saying, this is important, so listen here. "Brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship." So Paul is urging us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, as a way to worship him and to be in his presence. So what does that look like, a living sacrifice? What does a living sacrifice? There's a lot of things. I wrote down what it looks like is fully our entire life, our actions, giving it to God. Surrendering our own desires, our choices, to live according to his will. As we always pray, as we finish our prayer night, "Not your will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Essentially making your daily life a continuous act of worship that aligns our thoughts, words, and deeds with God's purpose. Amen? With God's purpose. And I just like yesterday, Saturday, I have this was given to our children, our teenagers, who had a class, Position for Purpose. Here is, we are all positioned for God's purpose. We got to begin to align ourselves. And what a good message that Kelsey of Chi Alpha was able to sow into our young people. We're so fortunate that we had a great person as Kelsey to sow into them. So God is telling us, and I'm telling you, that we need to begin to align ourselves to God's purposes. Not our purposes, not your mom or dad or your wife, but God's purposes. Because there is nothing more powerful, more important than the presence of God. There is nothing that can compare to it. Nothing. Because that is the greatest pleasure and the greatest treasure is the presence of God in your lives, in our lives, in my life. So we can experience God's presence. What can we experience in God's presence? This is the what. And I just have a couple things. There's so much things I can do, and I only have so long to do. The one thing that we can experience, as the song was telling us, is rest. Exodus 33:14 says, "The Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.'" And I'm not talking about a physical rest. We're not talking about a physical rest, but a supernatural rest. It's a place in God where you are totally, totally trusting in Him. And that was the song that we end with. Lord, I trust you because why? You never fail. It is where you let go of all the things that I'll say as we surrendered, letting go. That's what this is, raising hands. You're just letting go. We're not giving up. We never give up. But we let go. We don't give up. Why? Because we have a God that says, you can do all things through Christ. That's all I have to say. Never give up. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Amen. So all these burdens that worry, give it to Him and He will give you rest. Letting go is the greatest evidence of faith. Letting go, trusting in, Lord, I give it to you. I put it in your hands. That way you don't have to worry about it. That way you don't have to have sleepless nights. Why? Because you just gave it to God. And He's going to take care of it. It might not be right away. Sometimes that's what we struggle as humans. We want things microwave fast. But sometimes God takes His time, you know, because God is God. But we just got to wait on Him. We let go of our anxieties, our fears, evil thoughts, sexual desires, anger, doubt. Just let them go. When we let it go, that's saying, God, I trust in you. God, I know you're working. God is always working. That's one thing. God never sleeps. He's always working. While you're sleeping, God is working. While you're at work, God is working. God is always working. But if you don't let go, how can God work if you don't let go? You got to let it go. Because if you don't let go, God's not working. Rather, Satan is deceiving you, as the scripture just said recently in James. We all have burdens and fears. And do you know why we all have burdens and fears? Anyone know why we all have burdens and fears? Someone's listening, but that's a good one, Data. Why we have all burdens, why we have fears, is it? Because none of us in here are perfect. We're all going to have burdens and fears. That's just who we are. But we have a God who says, give it to Him, and I will give you rest. Amen? And another thing that we can experience in God's presence is joy and peace. I just like a lot of times when we're worshiping and the presence of God comes on, and all of a sudden you hear someone laughing. When I first came to a church, I went to another church, someone said, I said, hey, what's going on? You know, when people who don't really know about God's presence stuff, and all of a sudden someone's laughing, and they say, wow, this person is being disrespectful. Laughing while worship is going on. What's going on? Or dancing, or yelling. I said, wow. I'm so used to being in a solemn place and whatnot. But I didn't realize that's the presence of God. Why? Because there's a joy and a peace that's coming onto the person. The presence of God is just flooding the person. Amen? Now I understand why. Now sometimes when I laugh or whatever, I know that's the presence of the Lord. And that's what we feel here at the Door of Faith. Amen. You guys are all fortunate to hear the Lord. We all, Psalm 16:11. I love this scripture. It says here, show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. John 16:33 also says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world, you have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. For why? I have overcome the world. Amen. That's why we don't have to worry, because why? God has overcome. Jesus has overcome the world. That's why we should shout. We don't have to ever worry because Jesus overcome. When we are in God's presence, God will never steer us wrong. He always leads us to the path of life. We will experience fullness of joy and perfect peace. I want to just share a quick, not a story, it's a situation that I experienced throughout my whole career as I was working as a police officer. I truly got to see the presence of God. And I know it's a prayer because it's not me. If you look at me, I'm dealing with guys who are like 280, 290, 6'6", and I'm this Asian 5'8 guy, barely any muscles. But I got to see how the presence of God, when they come into my presence, it's not me. I'm not lifting myself. There's no way I could live. There's peace. I remember this. I used to have to transport bodies from, I used to work in Cali, from the Cali station to the main station. This guy, he got arrested for stabbing somebody. He was just going crazy in our cell. In fact, at one time, he was banging his head on the bars. We had to, when we have people like that, we have a padded cell. But when you're in the padded cell, you get stripped of all your clothes. So this guy's just going crazy. He's just crazy. He's in the padded cell. Then all of a sudden, they say, okay, Officer Lam, I want you to take this body to the rest. I say, oh, my gosh. Now the fear and panic comes on me like, oh, my gosh, this guy's going crazy. He's going to be my car. He might break the glass in back of me and just grab. All these things are coming in my mind. But I thought myself, you know what? I don't have to worry. So the presence of God is with me. And I can go on and on. I can go all 1 hour. So they put on this paper suit on him, and they get him ready. He's still going crazy as these two guys hold him to and shove him in my car. I said, shit, they've just shoved this guy in my car. So now I'm here again. Luckily, the drive is like a mile and a half long. So as I get in my car and release, come out of the Sally Port, all of a sudden, I don't know what it was, the guy starts crying. I was thinking, okay, I didn't have to say anything. I didn't do anything. This guy started crying. And just seconds ago, it took two officers, and big officers, to shove him in my car. And as I drive, again, it's not me, as I get into the car, I start reversing out of the Sally Port, the guy starts crying. I go, oh, my God, what is this guy? Is he going crazy? And then from that point on to here, he was calm. And I wasn't preaching to him. I didn't, back then, I wasn't, this is over 20 years ago. I'm not saying I wasn't saved, but I wasn't the minister like how he is to minister God's word. I just was talking to him, life application things, you know. And he just started crying, and he was calm from this point to there. And when I said, okay, this is the truth. I had to get out of the car, and I had to physically get the guy out myself. I'm thinking to myself, I'm opening the door, saying, man, it took two guys to get this guy out of my car. Hope this guy's not going to give me a hard time, because I'm going to have a hard time with this guy. He got out of the car himself with the handcuffs behind his back. And he said, thank you. And he left with the other officer. And that is truly God's presence in action. And if I'm getting chicken skin, just thinking, I remember that situation. Another thing that we can experience God's presence is glory, honor, and strength. Because it says in 1 Chronicles 16:27, and it says just what I just said, glory, honor, are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. O nation of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. And that's one thing we have to remember. As I was saying, we just kind of go into it, just like how it is in the Old Testament. We can't just come into God's presence just any old way. He's holy. And it says, worship the Lord in all holy splendor. God is calling us to sanctify ourselves, to separate ourselves from the things of this world and be holy as he is holy, is what the scripture tells us, because it says, without holiness, nobody will see God. No man shall see God. And what is required to live a sanctified life? There's a lot of things required. But the one thing, I just wanted one thing. And that one word starts with the letter O. It's obedience. Obedience to God's word, as I was just saying earlier about being not just hearers, but being doers. That's being obedient to God's word. Faith, as Pastor John was saying, love. We know all these who have a sanctified life. And most important to me is a deepened relationship with God the Father and his Son. We need to have if we want to have a good marriage, good friendship, we want a good relationship with our friends or our wives or our husband. How much more do we need a good relationship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ? Amen? So what else can be found in his presence? This is the last what if can be found. Is hope, confidence, and assurance. Hebrews 6:19 says, this hope, this confident assurance we have as an anchor of the soul, it cannot slip. It cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. A safe and steadfast hope that enters within the veil of the heavenly temple, that the most high place in which the very presence of God dwells. This scripture just kind of talked about, it's just everything I've been talking about just now. The meaning of this verse is that hope is that stabilizing force that keeps us in that right place, no matter what challenges we faced. And then those who were here last week, you remember Apostle McDonald, Apostle David, had a prophetic word for our pastor, Pastor John and Pastor Pat, and for the church. And he said that he saw an anchor stuck in the mud that had to be pulled up. Now, this anchor is not the same anchor as I just read in Hebrews. For one thing, this anchor was stuck in the mud and needed to be pulled up because of past histories, past tradition, religiosities, in order to give us momentum to move forward. That's the anchor he was prophesying. This anchor that I just read in Hebrew is a different anchor. This anchor grips the solid rock. And what is it? I love that song. This rock is Jesus. And it cannot slip. That's the anchor I'm talking about right here. It holds fast at the things that the world, just think of this anchor holding, that the world is trying to pull us away from. It's the things that Satan is trying to pull us away from. But because it's gripped on the solid rock, it says here, it shall not slip. Thank God. Isn't it so good that our anchor holds, it grips the solid rock, amen? And that rock is Jesus. I love those old hymn songs. And in his presence, I didn't really understand this until I read it and kind of understood it. In his presence, we can experience the fruit of the Spirit. And Galatians 5:22 explains this. And listen to what it says. This is out of the Amplified Version, because I like how it says it. And it made me understand. Because we know the fruit is love, joy, peace. But how many of us have a hard time with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, temperance, self-control? Because why? We do it in ourselves. But this is why we have a choice. It says right here. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us. Think about that now. His presence is within us, and this is how the fruit of the Spirit truly works. It says, let me go again. But the fruit of the Spirit, the results of his presence within us is love, unselfish concern for others. Amen. The joy. Think of our joy and joy with the presence. That joy is inner peace, patience, not the ability. I like this when it talks about patience. I like what it says here when we think of patience. Not the ability to wait. That's not the patience God is talking about. Listen to this. This stuck in my mind because this is me, because I'm not a patient guy. My wife can detest that. But how we act while we're waiting. How many of us have, Lord, when I did this, I started crying because that's me. How many of us have acted unbecoming of whatever then while we're waiting on the Lord? Lord, why? I don't want to. But you know what I mean. I'm not going to. I'm getting to the flesh, and I don't want to do that. When God's presence is within us, we can experience more peace. When our peace is running out, we can experience more patience. When our patience is running thin, we can experience more patience for our husband, our wife, our children, but. The patience that we need is when God's presence is in us. Because if it's just our own patience, like I said, I'm going to might get in the flesh. We don't want it. We need God's presence in us for the fruits of the Spirit to be what it truly is. True love, true patience, true kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. It only can experience the trueness in God's presence. Amen? That is why, and I thank God this is a Holy Ghost-filled church, that is why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we yield to God in obedience. The Holy Spirit is that mediator that Jesus said before leaving us. He said, it's expedient that I go because the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will come in my place and begin to teach you all the things. Because Jesus had a lot of things that we need to remember, right? But through the Holy Spirit, he said, he'll teach you all the things that I've taught you, all the things that you need to know. Because why? He's the mediator between God the Father and us. And if we don't have that communication line with the Holy Spirit, we can't hear from God. Amen? So today, I want to let you know that God is here. But are we aware of his, are we aware of his presence? And how do we experience it? That's the question. How do we experience it? And it's worth taking the time to answer, because in God's presence, there is a path of life. There is peace, joy, as I said, the fruits of the Spirit, hope. And here are just a few, again, this is just a few ways that we can experience the presence of God. And already we've talked a little about it, is meditate on his word. As I said earlier, that I never used to read the word, the Moody Bible. Never before have I felt the presence of God as I started reading his word. And it says, don't just read it. Reflect on it. Think it over in your mind. Apply it to yourself. What I used to do, when I was reading the word, I was reading, like, say, David and Goliath. I'm reading the story of David and Goliath. I think it's in Samuel. I just pictured myself of this shepherd boy, David, with a slingshot and this huge giant. As I'm reading, I just allow the words to come to life. Because why? This is a living word. And you'd be surprised of how the Spirit just downloads visual things as you read his word. Because you'll be able to retain so much things by visual things that the word speaks to you. Amen? So that's the first thing, that we meditate on God's word. The prophet Jeremiah, listen to this, what Jeremiah says in chapter 15, verse 16. He says, your words were found, and I ate them up. And your words became to me a joy and a delight for my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. So by giving ourselves to reading God's word, like Jeremiah, we can experience the joy of God's presence through his word. We can experience the power of God's presence through his word. There's so many things that we can experience. Because not always are we going to get visions. Not always are we going to get dreams. Not always are we going to have someone like Apostle McDonald coming to us to give us the prophetic word. But we can experience his presence through his word and the witness of his Spirit in our inner man, in ourselves. Amen? So this is what it means to be supernaturally led, because the word of God that is revealed to us is already supernatural. It says in Psalms 119, 105, he says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet. This word is that light, that beacon, that guides our feet. This word is the light that guides our path. So with this word, your path will never be darkened. Your feet will never not know where it's going. As long as it's guided by this, he'll guide us to the path of life. Amen. So remember what God's word reminds us, to not just be hearers, but be doers of the word, not deceiving yourselves. Another thing that what it reveals is confession, repentance, forsake any known sin. And as you remember, Pastor John, for a whole month in September, go back to those videos, because that's what it's all about. He preached on finding freedom. That was so important. And that's what he said. It's all about finding freedom by repenting, confessing, repenting of our sins, the things that are the deep roots in us that needs to be rooted out, And it's already been done through the Holy Spirit and through prayer. And if you haven't already, this is like a little plug. Purchase The Finding Freedom. It's only $15. I paid $30 for the book. We just gave a $15. In fact, we're not here to make money. If you haven't purchased The Finding Freedom and in His presence, no, in His image, come see me after service. Because these two books, you can't leave home without it. Amen. Remember that slogan? That was a popular slogan by American Express. That's something that we can leave home without. How many know has American Express? You guys go Costco, that's American Express. But we can't go home without it. We can't leave home without it. Amen? Maurice, don't make things funny because this is serious. Lord, forgive me. But sin creates a gap between us and God. And that we, as it was this morning, how John B. Rose talked about this veil just keeps us coming. It's this gap that keeps us from God. And in order for us to draw near to God, we need to begin to remove these things that's keeping us from Him. Just think of a walkway right here and all these things in front of us keeping us to God. We got to begin to remove these things away so we have this clear path to Him. And that's what it is from repenting, confessing of sin, sin of immorality, sins of idolatry, sins of sexual, all these things that are blocking our way. You got to repent for sin, get it removed from our lives. And that way, we can get a clear way to God and to His presence. Amen? Let me read what it says in 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's such a great scripture. Because what it is that word confess is admitting or acknowledging something that we have committed. That's what confess is. It's us calling sin, sin, and what God sees as sin, rather than making excuses or minimizing what sin is. And that's what we see today. Today, we see what God calls sin and what He says we need to make a break from. Society embraces it and calls it love. Amen. I mean, I don't want, we can go into all these things of Planned Parenthood, all these different gender now, because we all know there's only male and female. But now there's like 10 different kind of genders that you can come up with. I'm thinking, what has the Satan done to blind us so much to know that this world is just a male and female? I'm saying, Lord, help us, is what I'm saying when I raise my hand. Because when David sinned with Bathsheba, he was miserable until he confessed his sin to God. And listen to what David says. This is that he's asking God to restore him, giving his joy of salvation. And this is what he says. He says, don't cast me from your presence. David knew how important the presence of God is. He says, don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit. We got to be a willing spirit to sustain me. And I like this last scripture. And after he does all that to us, imagine he does all that. He says, then I will be able to teach transgressors your ways so that the sinners will turn back to you. Amen. So how important repentance and the presence of God was to David. God forgave David his sin and restored his joy. God will do the same for us. So that why? So that we can share the saving grace to others. Amen. That we will be the living testimony of what God has done in our lives. Another thing, what we need to experience God's presence is prayer in the Holy Spirit. The New Testament writer Jude wrote, but you, beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Just as God's word is a foundation for our living, So the Spirit of God is our fountain for living. Amen. It says, from our innermost being will flow rivers of continuous flowing rivers of water. Romans 8:26 says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. So by praying in the Holy Spirit, we can experience a greater sense of God's presence in our prayer. You don't have to come to church for prayer, but if you can, Wednesday night, come 6:30, we will experience God's presence, exactly what I say. As you pray in the Spirit, you're going to feel His presence. Wednesday, Saturday morning at 6:30, we have prayer again, which is called rest. Come and rest and feel His presence as we pray. We can also experience His presence through our worship, as we did just this morning. I just thank God that here at the Door of Faith, we just have a powerful worship that we can feel His presence. Hebrews 9:12-14 says, with His own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, Jesus entered the most holy place once and for all and secured our redemption forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ would purify our consciousness from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of eternal Spirit, Christ offered Himself to God as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. However, we can remind ourselves and one another of what Christ has already accomplished for us. And this is what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. It says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making music, just like what we did today, to the Lord in our hearts. In our hearts. That's that one word, in our hearts. We could be worshiping in the flesh, and we were not going to experience anything, but we were worshiping Him in our hearts, giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Worship allows us to draw near to His presence. Amen? And this is a no-brainer, how we can experience. Go to church. Not any church, I'll listen, but a church that is centered. I got this from somewhere. Listen to what I said. But a church that is centered on the gospel and the word of God. Go to a church where the gospel is portrayed through the ordinance of baptism, which we try to do every month, and the Lord's Supper, what you just did today. Singing, spoken word, pray, live out a community of Christian community. Doesn't it sound like the Door of Faith? I think this person was talking about the Door of Faith. He must have been describing our church, amen? And become an active participating member of such a church, and you will experience God's presence. Amen? In fact, listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:24. It says, but if all, I like this, because remember what Apostle David said? We all can prophesy. Listen what he said. I've read this scripture before, but now I hear it, see it, told it. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 14:24 says. But if all of you are prophesying, and an unbeliever or a person who doesn't understand things walks through our door, and comes into your meeting, they will be convicted of sin and judged by what you say. That's how important the prophetic is. Amen. I couldn't believe what I read. I said, hey, it seemed that if all of us are prophets, someone who doesn't believe come in, they're going to be convicted of their sin. That's how powerful the prophetic is. It's not to glorify ourselves. It's for the body. It's for the edifying of the body. Amen. So Paul emphasized that prophecy is a higher expression of spiritual gifts which benefits everyone. If it's not benefiting anyone, it's not a prophetic word from God. Paul's message is that spiritual gifts should be used for the benefit of the church to draw in those who are lost. And remember, each and every one of us can prophesy. Amen? So as I'm coming to the close of our message, another thing that how we can experience God's presence? Is be a generous giver. I was thinking, how is this true? But then we can I think God has created us. Will we make so? Oh, thank you, Rafa. You know, have you ever done a good deed and feel good after you do it? I think it's just, the way God made us is that when we help others, when we do good, we feel good. That's God's presence that we're feeling. Because that's what it's all about. When giving is a priority, we can experience God's presence. Amen? And another thing, tell others about Jesus. Amen? Amen. This past conference, I was talking with Brother Tony and his wife Teresa, because he brought in a friend. And he was telling him about Jesus. And, you know, we've all talked to Jesus about people, our friends or family members, but yeah, they don't hear and they don't come. But is it a good feel when you talk about Jesus and they actually come in? You say, well, and this gentleman, he was a young man. He brought in his wife and his young daughter. And I told you, doesn't that feel good that when you witness someone actually is hearing and comes in? That's how we can experience. And when I was talking, all of a sudden I started weeping. I'm thinking, oh boy, I'm getting like a cry, but what am I crying for? We're downstairs eating lunch and I'm also start crying. It's because as we were talking about this, about him sharing, the presence of God just came on me. I just started weeping. That's how we can experience God's presence. When we share Christ, because the Bible says we've gotten away from what Jesus said before he left to his disciples. We've gotten totally away from it. He said to go and make disciples of men. It wasn't an option. It was a command. And what is it if we don't obey a command? I can give disobedience, rebellion, all these. So if we're not witnessing for Jesus, if we're not trying to make disciples of men, technically, we'd be the disobedient because it was a command. It wasn't an option. Jesus said, well, you know what? Try and go out to make disciples. Try and go to bring them and try to go and spread my word. He said, go. Go. That was a command. There was no option. So today, I just want you to know that we all can experience God's presence. Each and every one of us. But we just got to just come as a humble heart with a contrite spirit and just draw near to him. Because when we draw near to him, he sees our heart. He knows that we're wanting to come into his spirit. We draw near to him. He'll draw near to us. So as I end my message, I want to do something a little different. This is our anointed oil. And I just thank God that we are a church that believe in the anointed oil. And if some of you may be new here, let me just kind of explain. And you can look it up in Google. I want to just kind of describe. This is a few things of what the anointed oil, what the oil symbolizes. You can read your word. It talks about what the oil symbolize. What it symbolizes is the Holy Spirit's power to heal, empower, and bless. And we just heard a testimony, not all of you are here, but Deborah was saying that it was the women's conference, that they anointed her with oil because she was having some pains or whatever it was. And today she testified that she's okay. There's no pain. So that's one thing that the anointed oil, we always hear at the door for you. If you say, we always used to anoint our pastors, we love to just not splash the oil on you. I mean, I came out, so it was just dripping all over. But that's one of the symbols. It brings power to heal, empower, and bless. David was anointed with oil when he became king. Another thing that the oil represents, and this is what I wanted to represent, just because of my message that I'm talking, that God gave me. It said that, and this is, I didn't say this, this is what it said. It said, also, the anointed oil represents a reminder of God's presence. This is a reminder of God's presence, that God is still with you. No matter what difficulties we go through, we all had come to that place where we're going through difficulties, all of a sudden, God, are you with me? But he is just going to assure that he is with us. So I'm going to have all you folks line up with a single prayer, single line. I'm just going to anoint your head with oil. I'm not going to be prophesying over you. I'm not going to be praying. I'm just going to anoint your head with oil. So after I pray, if you could just come up with a single line, and I'm just going to anoint your head. I'm not going to pour the oil like it says on Aaron's beard. It came dripping down. I'm just going to anoint your head with oil. But first, we all can stand. Lord, I just thank you for this message that you gave me today. I know it's not for me, Lord, and I just thank you. So, Heavenly Father, as your people come up and I anoint their head with this oil, let them know that your presence will always go with them as they seek you. That you will never leave them nor forsake them, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. May this message that I shared be a guide for them to experience your presence through your Holy Spirit. Lord, and I just thank you, Lord. And as we go out from your presence, Lord, I know you will always be with us until we come back into your house. I just thank you, Lord. I just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And can we all say, amen.